This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Over blow.
Up. Big old rabbit.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Brief football break. John Wall officially announced his retirement. Things didn't end great with John Wall in D.C., but, man, there were some fun times. And when he hit that shot and jumped up on the scorer's table,
yep.
I feel like John really tried to embrace the city.
A lot of people embraced him.
Yeah. I think Rose Bar might have embraced him. But I think, I don't know. It's one of those time heals all wounds kind of things. The Supermax they gave him was obviously a bad idea, but, you know, Ernie's playing golf somewhere. Like, things happen. Like, I now look back at the John Wall era very fondly.
Yeah, early. Totally.
When they drafted him, it was cool. I mean, he's probably got a ton of money and gets to kind of just chill, whatever he wants to do. I know he did a little bit of TV work. I thought he was really good in the brief time I watched him. So congrats to John Wall, man. Yep. And it's kind of
amazing how the guys leave the game and you don't see them. You automatically assume they retired. And then this comes out and you go, damn, I thought he was already retired.
I know. It's kind of crazy that Wall is now officially retired. Meanwhile, Brad Beal just got a buyout for like $160 million.
Brad and Kirk Cousins, sixth throw class.
Oh, those are some dudes that know what they're
paid,
doing.
Baby.
Yeah, they really do know how to get paid. Congratulations, John Wall. Hell of a career. I mean, when he was a Kentucky dude, I had never seen, and then in the NBA too, but when I first saw it at Kentucky, the speed he could go from one end of the court to the other, and with
he's fast as hell
with the precision ball handling was really, I mean, that dude was a player, man.
Totally.
Our guy Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports Network, joins us to talk about the Wiz. John Wall, Chase, it makes you feel old. I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I remember Kentucky time. I remember winning the lottery. I remember the draft, and he's stepping away from the game. Just your thoughts on his legacy.
Yeah, next thing there will be, you know, his son.
Right, exactly.
At a high level. That's how it works these days. You know, when I saw the announcement, it took me back to about a month ago. I was in Las Vegas, and I talked to John Wall because he shows up to the Summer League every year. And he was telling me how, like, excited he is to kind of move into the next chapter of his life and what he was kind of calling his second calling, which is broadcasting. And it just kind of struck me, especially in hindsight, that I think he's kind of at peace with his basketball career being over. Obviously, he hasn't been in the NBA for a couple years. He's continued to work out and continue to work out for teams. I think he's ready to kind of move on. And I was telling him, I thought he's done a great job, especially on NBA TV. And I think he's really kind of ready to lean all in on that. And I think just, you know, first of all, congrats on a great career to him. I mean, I think he's the best player the Wizards have had in several decades. And I think I have to note just the connection he had with the fans was so strong. I've covered a lot of athletes, some of the best athletes in this town, from Ovechkin to Ryan Zimmerman to and all the players the Nats have. Going out to community events and seeing him interact with fans and D.C. residents, I really think there was a special connection there.
I think that's well said. He was excellent. There was a few year stretch where he was one of the best in the game. I remember 16-17, he finished seventh in the MVP vote. He was third in the All-NBA teams, but it was 23 points and 11 assists per night. I mean, that's like a great couple of week heater when someone can get on a stretch like that. But at his peak, how good was he?
He was the best passer I've ever seen, like on a full sprint. He's one of the best passers I've ever seen. He was an all defensive player on the defensive end. I think his shot improved over time. Obviously, early on, he was such a blur and such an athlete. No one could stay in front of him. And I think it was the competitive nature that really took him to the heights that he got to. You know, he was a guy who played with his emotions on his sleeve. I think that's one of the reasons why fans really took to him. There was sort of an embrace in both directions. And I think at his peak, he was certainly one of the best point guards, one of the best guards in the NBA. And I've been thinking about it today, probably, you know, the best player the Wizards have had since, like, at least Gilbert Arenas. Like, you could quibble with, you know, who had a higher peak. But that's a pretty long stretch of time to be the best player that a franchise has had.
Chase, I've argued in the past, not necessarily heated with friends or colleagues or otherwise, but just sort of felt this way, that 16-17 year where he was third-team All-NBA, career highs in assists and steals and points and everything else, I think that shortened his career. Kind of like I think of that Dwayne Wade year where he was like, okay, to win a championship, I have to be, you know, the crash test dummy or crash bandicoot, basically, and go to the foul line a million times. I think that changed the course of his career that year where he never really played a full season after that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, his body started breaking down right after that, right? He signed the contract, and the next year, I believe he played 41 games. He missed a bunch of time. And then it wasn't long after that, of course, he had the injury that then led to him rupturing his Achilles mm-hmm. and just a freak accident. So that does kind of seem like that was his peak, 2016-17. And unfortunately, his body didn't cooperate. And, you know, I see what you mean. You know, there was a lot of discussion at the time how he would generate free throws. It involved him falling on the ground quite a bit. And, you know, people, I think we were all wondering sort of how his game would age. And I think there was a chance that it could have aged really well because he's one of the smartest basketball minds I've been around. Going back to his passing vision, like, I think some of that is natural instinct. But it was also, this guy was just a basketball savant at his peak. You know, the way he could process and see the game was special. So I think there was a chance his game could have aged better than it did. But, you know, once you rupture your Achilles and you're at that position, and I think it was at a time when the game was kind of evolving at his position. You know, mm-hmm. you look back at like sort of the traditional point guard mode. Well, he kind of didn't fit that in the sense that he did score a lot of points, but he was also more of a pass first point guard than you see nowadays. So it was kind of like just a confluence, I think, of forces that sort of led to that being his peak, unfortunately.
Chase, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having
See you,
me.
Bud.
John Wall, two of his final four seasons in the NBA, he didn't play in any games, and then he hasn't played in a couple years. So it feels like, you know, maybe it's been a long time or that he was already retired. It just wasn't official. He has been out of the sport for a couple of seasons, but now he is going to formally retire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
John Wall yesterday officially announced his retirement from the NBA. John Wall, for me, is an all-time Mount Rushmore Wizard Bullet. And I'm talking about the Bullets in D.C., not Baltimore. My Mount Rushmore is Elvin Hayes 1, Wes Unseld 2, John Wall 3, Bobby Dandridge 4. Just missing Gil and Phil. From that Mount Rushmore. That's not the question. The question is, should the Wizards retire John Wall's jersey? If you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. There are only three jerseys from Bullets in D.C. that have had their jersey retired. Five franchise history, including Baltimore. Earl Monroe, Gus Johnson, Wes Unseld, Elvin Hayes, and Phil Chenier. Elvin Hayes is the greatest player in franchise history. I've got Wes, too. I don't care what order you put those two guys in. I think John's three. You know, something that I didn't know and a friend of mine shared with me, the value over replacement player number, which is really the overall advanced number, John Wall's two in franchise history behind Wes. Bradley Beal's actually three. Elvin's four. Gilbert Arenas is five. All-time leading assists, all-time leading steals. And how about this? All-time leading rebounders in franchise history. He's 10th for defensive rebounds as a point guard. John Wall has some signature moments. The three that he hit to force Game 7 against Boston in 2017. And a signature game, Game 6 that same year in 2017, on the road against Atlanta, put away the Hawks with 15 out of the last 17 points for the team in the fourth quarter. By the way, hitting as they went underneath every single screen, you know, daring him to make that mid-range shot, knocking down each one of them, not to mention an unbelievable block defensively. 42 points in that game, 7 assists, and total clutch down the stretch. Look, it is a bit of an indictment on the franchise's history that, to me, for me anyway, that John Wall's so easily on the Mount Rushmore of players in history. He played 9 years. He was injury-riddled for sure. But we have what we have to work with. And for me, it's a no-brainer. John Wall's jersey should be retired by the Wizards. Because for me, a Mount Rushmore player has to have his jersey retired. Ted did put out a very nice statement yesterday on John. Where is it? Hold on. 15 years ago, the Wizards selected John Wall with the first overall pick out of Kentucky. We knew we were getting an elite point guard to join the Wizards ranks, and we ended up with so much more. 10 years of John Wall on the Wizards and a legacy to last a lifetime. John was simply outstanding. In his time on the Wizards, he went from rising star in his rookie year to a 5-time NBA All-Star. Alongside Bradley Beal, the dynamic duo led the team in 4 playoff runs. That was out of 5 years. Remember that year they didn't make it, lots of injuries. DC fans adored John for the player he was on the court and the person he is off it. We could feel how much John genuinely loved DC, and the district loved him back. His investment into the community through philanthropy, events, and youth basketball programs made a difference in the lives of so many. His loyalty, community involvement, and passion went above and beyond what was expected, and we all loved him for it. As the news breaks of John's retirement from the game, I know all of us in DC are sending him our well wishes and are excited to see what's coming next. Thanks for everything, John, on behalf of all of us at the Washington Wizards and at MSC, that's Monumental Sports and Entertainment. Congratulations on your retirement. I think they're going to retire his jersey. It would be insane not to. I've had John on the show a couple of times in the last year. He's going to be doing a lot of work for Amazon Prime in the NBA. He is, for me, I'll just be candid with you, very surprised at how good he is as an analyst and as a communicator. And I think he's going to have a very successful career. He is a basketball junkie, but that's not the question. The question is, should he have his jersey retired? Yes or no? I say unequivocally yes. It's easy for me. I'm a lifelong Bullets Wizards fan, and we've suffered, you know, for a lot of years. And a lot of it's on current ownership and the way things have been handled. Hopefully 5 years from now, there's a contending team. But those 4 playoff, you know, years with John and Brad and Gortat and Nene and Trevor Ariza and Paul Pierce, etc., those teams were better than the Gill teams and the Antoine teams. They were, because they actually defended. They were just better teams. They won 3 playoff series, and they had a chance, you know, in all 3 second rounds to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Had a chance against Indiana that first year. John doesn't break his hand. They have a chance against Atlanta. And certainly they had a chance in Game 7 against Boston. John, for me, easy, no-brainer, retire his jersey, hang it in the rafters with Wes, Elvin, and Phil as Washington Bullets. You know, they were Bullets. He would be the first Wizard. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, what do you say?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good, Joe.
You know, I would say absolutely yes that they should retire John Wall's jersey. I mean, considering that run we had in the playoffs, I mean, and if not for him getting hurting his hand like in 2015, we would have played in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then after the buzzer beater in Game 6 against Boston, I understand that it was a back and forth in Game 7 against Boston, we would have had the Conference Finals again. We would have played LeBron and the Cavs both times.
Yeah, none of those teams were going to the Finals, but they all had legitimate chances to be in the Final 4 in the Eastern Conference
Finals. Yeah, and he definitely gave us a chance all those times. Even, I mean, I understand he played hurt in like one of those series, but he definitely gave us a chance, and especially that 42-point game to close out the Hawks in Game 6, I think, in 2015.
One of the great individual playoff performances in franchise history. There aren't a lot of them to choose from, and you got to be old to know the ones that lead the list. Elvin Hayes' Game 7 against the Hawks in 79, 39 points, I think 18 rebounds, 7 block shots. Bobby Dee in Game 7 against San Antonio. There are some incredible performances from when the franchise was relevant. Gill, obviously, with the game winner against Chicago in Game 5 that set up the opportunity to win Game 6 at home. But what he did in Atlanta in Game 6 to put that series away, that's top three, top four playoff performances in franchise history. No doubt.
There's no way Gilbert's going to get his jersey retired, Kevin. It's John Wall all the way.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Scott in Frederick, should John Wall's jersey be retired? Yes or no?
Well, I'm gonna go. First of all, I'm a little biased. I was his UPS driver, and we moved to Potomac, so I can tell you he was a really, really, really nice guy.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have to say yes. You made a great point though. You said it's really more of an indictment on the franchise than anything else. I mean, if John Wall's on the Lakers, does he get retired? No. I mean, so many teams out there he wouldn't. But sure. I think in this case, he definitely should have him retired. He was a dynamite person. I can tell you that personally. And, I definitely have to say yes. He's definitely better than Gilbert Arenas was. And those Wizards team, you're right. I think they would have been top four, you know, level. But they just didn't have what it took, you know, to really get past. But John Wall is definitely the catalyst on those teams.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jay in Columbia. Jay, yes or no on John Wall's jersey being retired?
I would say absolutely he needs to have his jersey retired at Rose Bar.
Okay, what about for the franchise?
No, I think he should. I mean, it's just a shame. You know, I think the underlying thing with even the question is the competency or lack of competency of Ted and just the whole ownership group to get them to play at a level where they could get through deeper into the playoffs.
Right.
And sadly, you know, we sit here today and we're further back than where we were, you know? So I think John did the best he could. I was most impressed with, I was at a Nats game where he was throwing out the first pitch and I was really impressed with how good he was with the general public. He was signing autographs.
I thought you were going to say the pitch, which was not very impressive, but yes,
the pitch
he
was
is
impressive, but he was.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
And I didn't realize how much community outreach he did. So I think it's a combination of both. I'd say yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not even factoring that in, to be honest with you. I'm factoring in just pure basketball. But anyway, Mark in Largo. Mark, you literally have 30 seconds, so go.
Okay, John should have his number retired. And Kevin, you're crazy to think that Gilbert Arenas is not better than John Wall. John never went up against LeBron James at all in the playoffs. Gilbert did. Gilbert
and
went up
happened?
There the last three times.
And what happened in all those
and they lost. But I'm saying that was when LeBron was in his prime. But Gilbert put us on the map. Don't forget that. Gilbert put us on
the map. Put us on the map? How so? They won one playoff series with Gil. One.
Nobody came to watch them before Gilbert got here.
Well, they came to watch the other teams.
Nobody even recognized the Wizards.
I agree with you,
here.
But that's not a reason to put him ahead of John Wall because all of a sudden there was some brief temporary excitement for the team. Gil's great. He's just on the outside for me. He's arguably, after Elvin Hayes, the greatest scorer in franchise history.
Big shout out to our pal Candy Waller, Bowie TV, joining the program, giving us the latest from out in Ashburn. If you missed any of that conversation, you were in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app, use the Odyssey Rewind feature, and go back to the 5:30 segment to hear what Miss Candy Waller had to say about who was out there on the practice field. Biggest takeaway from Miss Candy there was the fact that Brandon Coleman back out on the practice field. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, more importantly, back out on the practice field. Two guys that, you know, definitely are going to be important for this football team. For Javonte Jean-Baptiste, man, he has been on the shelf for a little while. I don't even know because we're at this point of the offseason, there's not even an injury designation for him. So you don't know exactly what is ailing him, exactly what's keeping him off the practice field. So good news, though, that he was out there this afternoon, and you hope that you see him back playing sooner rather than later. Honestly, best case scenario for him is to be able to get some snaps in the preseason finale coming up on Saturday against the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll see if that actually happened. Yesterday, though, I know this is the Burgundy and Gold today, and primarily we're going to keep things focused on the National Football League and the Washington Commanders. I love college football, so we'll talk a little bit of college football as well. But what happened yesterday, I think, was felt in all walks of life. John Wall, calling it a career at 34 years of age. Former number one overall pick back in 2011. And he is a young man that I think just represented this city so well. And I think it happens a lot where you fall in love with a guy that plays for your team. And still to this day, like, John Wall is my favorite Wizard of all time. And I was, you know, able to watch the Gilbert Arenas era Wizards. But as far as John Wall, for me, his impact stretches far beyond the playing surface. And I think his ability to be a real philanthropist in the DMV, you know, should not be, you know, understated. And to me, when I think about his legacy and how he's going to be remembered here in DC, I think about the off the court stuff first before I even think about it. His annual John Wall Foundation backpack drive that he did every year for underprivileged communities here in this area. Like, he don't got to do that, man. Like, straight up. And he did that from day one here in the nation's capital. And we watched him get to grow up from being an 18-year-old to being a guy that was making, you know, an All-NBA team to a guy that was making the All-Star game. And I think, obviously, he had to deal with a lot of adversity on the floor in terms of injuries and things of that nature. But say what you want about John Wall, stand-up human being, stand-up individual, and probably, you know, one of the more influential D.C. sports athletes of the 2000s in terms of his impact on the floor. And then, as we just talked about a moment ago, what he was able to do off the floor. The accolades speak for themselves. Five-time All-Star selection, third-team All-NBA back in 2017, second-team All-Defense back in 2015, and then he was the Rookie of the Year back in 2011, and then that dunk contest that he won back in 2014. Really, I felt like put him and the Wizards on the map in terms of that national stage and getting back to relevance. For me, it hits a little bit different because when I was in middle school, high school, my bedtime was 9 o'clock, y'all. People are going to think that's crazy. But you go up in a black household, your folks tell you to go to bed. What you doing? You're taking your ass to bed. So I had a 9 o'clock curfew. But the way I would get around my curfew, I was like, you know, can I stay up and watch the Wizards game if they was on the West Coast? And mind you, the year before John Wall got drafted, they were terrible. We're talking Dominique McGuire, Earl Boykin, Darius Sungaila. I can name drop so many different guys, man. Alexei Petrov, like, just a bunch of bums. And I was watching it. One, because I'm just a hoop head. I like to watch basketball. But more importantly, I was just trying to stay up a little bit longer. You know what I'm
saying? Mike James.
Mike James. Mike James, bald ass, man. Come on, dog. Mike James. What was man, we had light-skinned bro with the bald head. Rashawn Evans. McGee
before, like, he really, you know, got going.
You know what I'm saying? There was a bunch of – I remember watching Nick Young score 40 versus the Kings. I was up watching that game. Yeah. Slim was going crazy. So, but all in all, that was just because I wanted to stay up a little bit longer and do other things. But obviously, the Wizards game was my excuse. That year, I think I watched over under. I probably watched like 60 or 65 of the 82, bro. I was locked in every night. I loved it, man. And I'll be real, like, that era really hits home for me because now that I get to go to Cap One Arena and be around a Chris Miller, a guy that I, like, grew up idolizing and wanting to be like, it's full circle season for your boy, man. Listening to Steve Buckhans, like, I called college basketball games for my college when I was in college. You know what I mean? And I'm using some of his phrases when on the broadcast, man. So that whole era for me was special. But when we drafted John Wall, first of all, when we won the lottery, I was young and dumb and didn't really understand the consequences of what was happening. I thought we was just going to be, you know, have the number one pick because we was the worst team. We won the lottery. And this is actually around the time where Abe Pollin had passed away as well. So that's something that I was curious about as a young, you know, 12, 13-year-old kid. But I'll never forget when Adam Silver announced his name, and he said, John Wall from the University of Kentucky. And it was up from them, man. His first career game at Cap One Arena, coming out doing the Dougie and the full zip-up joint, man. Shawty just had aura is the best way that I would describe it. He really just embodied what it was to be a Wizard at the time. And I look at John Wall as being like the catalyst of ushering the Wizards back into relevance, right? Because there was a long period of time there, man. After Gilbert had the gun situation going on, like, stuff was bleak, man. Injuries were happening to Gilbert, to Anton, to Karan. stuff was tough at that point in time being a Wizards fan, man. And John Wall was like that light at the end of the tunnel, and he had to deal with adversity as well, litany of injuries early on in his career. But it was that game against Philadelphia, bro, at home his rookie year where the numbers were crazy. Something like 25 points. He had a triple-double with points, assists, and rebounds, and then he had something crazy like 6 or 7 steals too in that game. And that was, to me, really his coming out party. What I always think about, though, and it's unfortunate when it comes to the John Wall years, I keep thinking about what if. Because you couldn't tell me that back in 2017, they weren't the real deal in the Eastern Conference. I was making the argument that they were the best team in all of the Eastern Conference. And I remember that year, man. I was at college at the time, and I was watching the John Wall buzzer beater in game 6. I watched that joint on my laptop. It's crazy. I had this small-ass HP laptop that I got gifted before I went off to school. And, like, being in West Virginia in the sticks, wasn't a whole lot of Wizard fans on campus, man. There were some folks that had obviously came to play football from the DMV area, but, like, I was the only one really trying to stamp the Wizards. And that moment, probably my favorite moment as a Wizards fan to this point, man. Like, watching him hit that shot, standing up on the scorer's table, letting it all hang out. That game 7 obviously lives in infamy forever. We got Kelly Olynyk. Shorty went off. The craziest thing I've ever seen. I'll forever have disdain towards him for that. But, like, that era of basketball is special, man. And you always wonder what if. I know you all have heard some of the conversations now that John is – first of all, John's excellent in the media, and we'll talk about, you know, what he's got coming up in the second chapter of his career momentarily. But, you know, now that he's going on these podcasts, he's done All the Smoke. He's done Theo Pinson's podcast. He's went on with a bunch of different folks. And, you know, we keep hearing him talk about the what if when it comes to that team. They really wanted Paul George, man. If they would have had a big three of Brad Beal, John Wall, and Paul George, that may have been enough to catapult them over the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. I mean, that was, we were already damn good. We should have beat Boston. That's the crazy part, man. We should have beat Boston. I'll never forget when Kelly Oubre ran up on Kelly Olynyk and was about to glass him. Like, that was a crazy scenario, crazy time period. But, like, the what if always sticks out with that team. And getting that third star is always what felt like was missing. And now I'm glad we get to hear about it in hindsight, because at first I'm like, damn, man, is John Wall just beefing with folks around the league? Do folks just not want to come play here because they don't think John is good enough? That wasn't the case at all. And it's cool to me because the post yesterday, and I give Ted Leonsis a ton of credit, the post yesterday from Monumental Sports, I thought was perfect. I thought it was respectable. Because remember, his exit here from D.C. was tumultuous. It was weird. There's rumor about how he ended up re-injuring himself and things of that nature. And the way that they did him, though, on the way out, I do think was greasy. It was greasy, the way they did him on the way out. He was healthy and ready to go at the start of training camp, and they shipped him out of here to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Russell Westbrook. And the rest was kind of history on John Wall's time here in D.C. Moving forward, he just announced earlier on social media going to be an NBA analyst for Amazon Prime and their NBA coverage throughout the season. So big kudos to him. I knew he was going to be good in the media. They had him on NBA TV a couple times, and I think, you know, Chris Miles was able to pull some strings to help that be possible. John talking about the game, you'd be surprised. I don't even think people should be surprised. If you listen to him post-game, when he would get to catch up with Chris Miller and whoever the sideline reporter was, super articulate, understands the game, really good job explaining what happened. He was awesome on NBA TV. So I don't know if he'll be a desk analyst for Prime Video or will he be a color analyst doing on broadcast, but whatever he chooses to do with his media career, he is going to be absolutely awesome. John Wall yesterday officially calling it a career at 34 years of age.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Pretty much a football show, especially this time of year as we're gearing up for football.
Yep.
But yesterday, man, when John Wall announced his retirement, hard not to think back to be. I remember where I was the night the Wiz won the draft lottery to get the number one pick to take John Wall.
Yeah.
I was at Capitol Lounge on Pennsylvania Avenue. No Miller Lights, no bombs, no politics. Shout out to Tony T. I mean, I remember watching that and being so excited. And then I remember when John Wall got introduced to the Wiz, the home crowd, for the first time and hit the Dougie. And it was like a national conversation about, like, if the Dougie was appropriate. Like, God, people got to relax.
What the hell?
John Wall made a tremendous impact on this city, was a really good player for a long time, and Steve Buckhantz was there for almost all of it, I would imagine. Steve Buckhantz joins us now, former voice of the Wizards. Buck, thank you for making time, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys?
We're good, man.
Dude, when I heard the John Wall thing yesterday, I wanted to devote some time to it. We were kind of reacting to the preseason game, and I was thinking, like, who's the best person we could talk to learn what John Wall really meant, and you were the first person that came to mind. What was your reaction when you heard Wall is finally officially hanging it up and kind of reflecting on his career?
I was truthfully kind of mystified and a little bit disappointed because his career really tailed off sort of unexpectedly to me. I mean, I'd never seen a guy who was so good go out with such little fanfare as John Wall, because when he was here, obviously, he made a huge impact. I mean, I think there were three different eras, or at least a couple different eras, when I was doing the games. Well, three of them. There was the Michael Jordan era, obviously, which is in the early 2000s. There was the big three, which was Karan, Antoine, and Gilbert. And then John Wall and Bradley Beal. So he was really good here. And when he came, the one thing that impressed me about his game, and it got better as it went along, but he was the fastest guy I've ever seen play pro basketball from end to end, from one baseline to the other. He was the fastest I've ever seen. I mean, he could get up and down the court in 3 seconds and make a layup. But the way he went out, guys, was just a little, I don't know, unusual to me. He just sort of tapered off. His career just sort of tapered off, and then you didn't hear anything from him after he went to a couple of different teams. And then the next thing you know, he's retiring. So to answer your question, it was a little disappointing for me the way his career ended. But when he was here, he was a really good player.
Yeah. 5 straight years making the All-Star game. Obviously, you know, they win some playoff series. The highs were really good in the Wall era. Did you have like a favorite Wall moment or moments maybe?
Probably when he hit that shot. I forget who it was against, where they inbounded the ball. Last second shot, and he just fired it up and hit it, and the place went crazy, and then he jumps up on a table and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, he was an electric player. I always thought, and look, I'm not an expert, but I watch these guys play. I always have admiration for guys who can get into the lane and hit that floating jump shot, which is a real talent to do, because that's a tough shot to make. And I always thought that his game would have been even better had he really learned how to do that. There are certain guys that can do that and are really good at it. Chris Paul is one of those guys. And I think he would have been better because his outside shot improved, but it was never great. You could never count on him for an outside shot, which is why Bradley Beal always tried to take, you know, John would always try to take the last shot, and Bradley Beal would be like, hey, I'm the better shooter. Pass me the ball. But he was electric, you know. He was a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to call games with.
I bet, man. So the game we all remember, it was game 6 against the Celtics at home, and he hit that shot, jumped up on the scorer's table. I think they beat the Raptors in the first round of those playoffs. They did eventually lose to the Celtics in game 7.
Right, they were one win away from going to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is a lot of people don't realize that, but
right.
They were really close. They just couldn't beat the Celtics.
Couldn't get over the hump.
So you mentioned kind of the 3 eras of Wizards basketball with the MJ era, the Gill era, and then the Wall era. I personally am more partial to the Gill, Karan, Jameson years. I think those teams were better, especially that year before Gill blew out his knee. I saw this, though, and I was kind of blown away by it. I'm curious your reaction. Kevin Sheehan, a guy we all know, respect, he's our friend, who watches a ton of Bullets Wiz basketball. He said his Mount Rushmore for Bullets Wizards, Wes, Elvin, John Wall, and Bobby Dandridge. Were you surprised Wall made that kind of impact on people?
I'm not surprised that he made that impact because he came in an era where we had some social media and he was all pumped up and hyped up coming out of Kentucky for 1 year. So I'm not that surprised about that. Mine would be a little different. And then then my question would be, JP, is he including MJ in that Mount Rushmore? I mean, in other words, does he count as a Wizard or not?
I don't think so. For me, he doesn't. Yeah. I remember it, but MJ's a bull, dude.
He's a bull, but still he came here and he did a lot for that area down there. I can tell you that.
He sold out the stadium.
Oh, let me tell you something. Wherever we went, it was sold out. And Wizards basketball was never sold out on the road. But wherever we went with him on the team, it was sold out everywhere we went. And, I mean, I obviously got to interact with him, me and Phil Chenier, and play golf and do that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you're traveling with an icon, a living legend, it's really unusual. We often don't get to do that. I mean, that would be the only one for me where I got close to a guy who you can recognize from the back of his head. So, for me, growing up, going to Baltimore Civic Center to see the Bullets play, I would have Earl Monroe on that Mount Rushmore. He was my idol back then, and he was my favorite player, and Phil was my second favorite player. But, I don't know if I would have – who did he have again in the Mount Rushmore? Wes and Elvin and Bobby Lee and Wall?
Yeah. Now, maybe that's just his personal list. Like, my personal list –
Well, here, I don't know that I'm right on this. And John Wall deserves a ton of credit for a good career in Washington. At their best, Buck, at their best, which iteration do you think was better, Gil, Caron, Jameson, or the Wall-Beal teams?
Yeah, I think the big three, you know, Gil, Caron, and Antoine, because, you know, there were some injuries there that they had they not had injuries, I think that team, and Ernie Grunfeld, I think, would agree with that, and I've talked to him about that before, that they could have gone a lot further than they did. And Gilbert, you know, before he had the knee injury, he was unstoppable. I mean, there wasn't anybody that could stop him. He was one of the best players in the league. He would look at the guy in front of him, guarding him, and not even consider him because he knew he was getting past him. Mm-hmm. It was whoever was the guy after that. So I would think that team, to me, had the potential at least to be the best, even though the Wall-Beal team, like I say, got one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. I still think that the big three was, for my money, was the best squad I had, you know, in the 22 years I did the games.
I agree with that. I liked the Wall-Beal era, the Gil era. To me, like, my personal Mount Rushmore would be, and I know this shouldn't count because he played on a ton of teams, I just loved Rod Strickland so much. Strickland, Gil, probably Caron. I loved watching Caron play basketball. I don't know. I got to sit down and think about that. But, Buck, I know you're busy, man, and we kind of just – I was pestering you on text to come on and talk about John, and I appreciate you making time for
us.
No, it's fine. I'm over here at the Palm getting ready to do a podcast with Steve Zabin and Chris Nockey. So that's my only but you guys took priority, clearly. So I won't tell Zabe that.
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. John Wall! What a shot! Wizards will live for Game 7.
That's John Wall hitting a shot and jumping up on the scorer's table. That's as good as it gets, forcing a Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. Screw you, Kellen Olynyk. The Kelly Olynyk game would soon follow.
Yes, it would.
That was as good as things have gotten around these parts as far as hoops, and John Wall was a big reason why. That year, he finished top 7 in the MVP chase. And John Wall that year averaged about 24 points and 11 assists. You go back and you look at those numbers, how does he finish third team All-NBA?
Just a different time, man. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double was the MVP. It was the era of the super team. But Wall was unbelievable that season.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We bring on to the show, it's been a long time, our guy Chris Miller. He is the play-by-play voice of your Washington Wizards on Monumental Sports. About that time again, Chris, to start seeing you on the call and the Wizards on the hardwood this fall.
Looking forward to it, Grant and Danny. It's been a while. Great to hear your voice. Just enjoying the last couple of weeks before we tee it up and roll that ball out again. But just hearing Mark Jones's call on what I think is the biggest shot ever in that building, it just brings back a lot of memories. And yesterday was kind of just it was like I was happy for John, but I was also sad just to think about all the years we had with him and all the memories. And now he's going to turn around and be an analyst and call games. And I'm getting old. You know, you just think about it. He was 19 years old. He had peach fuzz on his face. There was a red carpet. Now he's a father of two, and he's a basketball analyst. It's like, where did the time go?
It is incredible. You were the first guy we thought of today, though, because you were kind of right there for his entire career on the sideline and in multiple roles, obviously now calling the games. But before we even get to the on-the-floor element of this, which everybody saw, there was a real legit love for him in this city and connection between him and D.C. that I've only ever seen really at its apex with Gilbert Arenas, and that was short-lived. But how would you chronicle that for maybe either younger fans or new Wizards fans? Like, at his peak, what Wall meant to D.C. and vice versa?
Well, he was the genuine article of the realest athlete I have covered in almost 30 years of being in this business. what you saw with him is what you got. When he gave you a quote, he was thoughtful and he meant it. And it might not have come all across as smooth as many people thought. You know, he was country, he talked fast, all of this stuff. But being a fellow North Carolinian, I understood him. I understood him the very first day I met him. And that realness is, I think, the reason why he was kind of the Pied Piper for our city. Not just leaving it on the floor every night, but he was just genuine. He was as real as it gets.
Chris, what did he not get enough credit for in your mind? I mean, the point guard has sort of evolved into just another shooter out there, basically, at this stage of the game. But he was right. Old school in that way, where it's running the offense, a blur with the basketball in his hands, et cetera. But, I mean, you were there courtside and seeing him in practice and everything else. What did he not get enough credit for as a player?
Danny, I don't think people realize he played hurt almost his entire career. Now, the last 5 or 6 years, everyone knows how it ended. But really, he dealt with bone spurs. He injured his hand. We know about the 5 non-displaced fractures in his hand during the playoffs. He played hurt. I remember one time he had this bone spur in his foot, and he had surgery on it. And he texted me the photo of what the bone spur looked like when the doctor removed it. And I just remember just looking at that going, there's no way I could articulate it to fans to understand what he was playing through. He played hurt a lot. And Grant, you talked about the numbers he had in his best season, which was 16-17. But throughout his entire time in D.C., to do that and not to complain, he talked to the media every day. You know, win or loss, he was always in his locker. And I think that's where the appreciation for John Wall really came from a media standpoint, is that guy never ducked when something bad happened to either him or the team. He was front-facing that way, and it was I appreciated that, because as you guys know, there are some athletes that duck when bad things happen, but they'll be front and center when something good happens. John was never that way. He always talked.
Let's talk John Wall, the player. Chris Miller of Monumental Sports is with us. On the floor, I mentioned the best year statistically, and he finished 7th in the MVP hunt, 3rd-team All-NBA All-Star in that 16-17 season. I mean, he was a star of stars, too. Like, there was a time where he's in dunk contests, and he made 5 straight All-Star teams. We don't have guys around here do that in my lifetime, but you take me back to kind of early and then at his apex, like how we got there and what kind of player he turned into.
Well, he couldn't shoot, and he would tell you that when he first got into the league. I mean, he was just a blur with the basketball in his hand. He was the fastest in the league, and I'm comparing him to, at that point, the Derrick Rose of the world, the Russell Westbrooks. John Wall, to me, I thought was faster than both of them. And I grew up, I remember watching a lot of small point guards. I never saw anybody as fast as John Wall, and he was about 6'3", 6'4", about 195 pounds doing that. So in the beginning of his career, he was just a blur, and he evolved every year. I thought he got better with that jump shot, but his vision, the pick and roll with Gortat, I thought was one of the best pick and rolls in NBA history behind Stockton and Malone. That might sound like hyperbole, but when you see it every night and you know teams were scouting it every night and they could not stop it, that was a large part about John being able to run that offense. And again, I talked about being hurt, playing hurt. All of that kind of is in the mix when you're trying to talk about John Wall. It's like, how was he able to do all this stuff every night? And he played, Grant and Danny, in my opinion, the golden age of point guards. He would tell you, he would look at the schedule and be like, damn, I got Chris Paul tonight. I got Westbrook 2 nights from now. I got a back-to-back. I got to see Kyrie. I mean, the list went on. And he was right there in the mix when you were talking about who were the best point guards during that golden era.
In terms of, again, kind of on court, it's always so hard when you know, your teammates may not be able to run with you, and you kind of have to adapt to different styles. I mean, think of the different coaches where Randy Whitman, you know, loved defense more than I love carbohydrates, Chris. You know, just different coaching styles and different things like that. How hard was it for folks to kind of catch up, right? Because if you got someone that fast, let's play fast. But it wasn't always that way. I'd love for you to kind of go into that, some of those relationships and you know, maybe how tough it was for teammates to play with a guy that skilled and that quick.
All right, well, I won't name any names, but, you know, I would be at practice sometimes, and I would see some of these bigs, and I'm like, there's no way in hell they can run with John. How are they going to be able to run with him? But it just worked. He made it work. And I thought Gortat was great for him in the half court. I thought Nene. I thought when the Wizards acquired Gortat and Nene, that allow John and Brad to elevate their games. Remember, they were young. They were babies. That first playoff series in Chicago, they beat the Bulls in five. I think that was a byproduct of having two tough bigs down there that could really be physical and allow John and Brad to kind of grow their game. And Brad was the perfect piece for John to have a two guard that could come off, you know, action where you set a screen and Brad comes off a screen and shoots threes. And they were just perfect for each other. I just think that they were too young. We needed another guy. And John and I have talked about this over the years. And I know a lot of people would talk about like Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was never going to come here. But the guy that I thought, if we could have got this player, I don't know what we would be talking about today. And it was Paul George. Paul George at that time was a really good player, an all-league player. And they've all said it. There was talk of Paul George coming to D.C., and if that would have happened, I don't know what the narrative would have been like, but I think this team could have competed for Eastern Conference Finals appearances not once but twice. But going back to your question about the bigs, they had to figure it out because John wasn't going to slow down. You guys know right. That watching it. He was never going to slow down. He was going to go from 0 to 100 in like 5 seconds. And it was your job to get in condition and to run with him because the fruits of his speed got a lot of guys paid on this team, as you guys know.
Chris Miller is with us. John Wall announcing yesterday officially that he'll be retiring. We're reminiscing about his career. You went into some of what he dealt with physically. He basically played like half seasons in his final 2 years on the floor here. Then he missed 19-20, did play in Houston, missed another season, then played minimally with the Clippers. But going back to the end as far as health, what do you remember about some of what he was going through to get his body ready to play?
You know, the double knee surgery was before the 16-17 year, which was his best year, right? But, you know, even after that, the Achilles tear, and it just, his body just broke down. He just played in a way where you would want him to kind of slow down, but then you're taking away his superpower. It was kind of like watching a bigger version of Allen Iverson. We all love Bubba Chuck, the way he played, no fear, always played hurt. John's favorite player growing up was Allen Iverson, and you could see that kind of toughness in that position that John would play through anything. And I think it just cost him his career, to be real honest with you guys, just the way he played and fighting through a lot of stuff. I think at the end of the day, if he could go back, I don't even know if he would ever change the way he played, but I think now he kind of understands I could have elongated my career if maybe I could have slowed down a little bit or not take that fall. Because you guys remember how many times you see John get to the rack and he would fall and you'd be like, oh, no, is this the one? And he would jump right up, right? I think those are the things that he kind of thinks about today as he's going into the second act of being an analyst. And that's the part I'm really excited about, is to hear him kind of talk about the game today compared to when he was playing.
Yeah, because again, Chris, I think the answer – that I have for the question I asked you before about what did not get enough credit for, how great of a basketball mind he was. Just, you know, old school point guard, seeing things, the way he saw the floor, just he had that savant level understanding of things. And a lot of times those guys make the best analysts, like the catcher makes the best manager for baseball. And I'm looking forward to that next chapter for him, for a guy that wasn't always, as you said, gregarious or outgoing with every member of the media, but I think he'll be really, really good at it.
You know what's funny, Danny? I'll share this story with you guys. I can't even tell you how many times I interviewed him, but there was this one time I was doing an interview at his house, and I walked into the living room, and there's four big TVs that are attached to each other. I mean, you talk about picture in picture. This thing was the craziest thing I ever saw. But there were games on there. There was a women's basketball game. There was an NBA game, two NBA games, and there was a college men's basketball game going on. And he's sitting on his couch, and you know, we're getting the camera set up and the lighting and all this stuff, and he's talking to me, but he's not looking at me. He's looking at these monitors, and it was all basketball. And that was the first time where I was like, this dude is a savant. I was like, this is crazy how he's watching all these games. And like now he's going to be, it's going to be like Christmas for him now, where he's just sitting in these studios and he's just talking about basketball. But he's been doing this. I don't think a lot of people realize how smart he is and just how he sees the game of basketball. It was kind of on just another level. And he can talk to you about any kind of basketball. Boys and girls AAU, college basketball, NBA, WNBA. He knows all of it, and he's just always been kind of a student of the game. That's the exciting part of seeing, like, now what he'll do now with a camera now in front of him with him wearing a suit.
Chris, before we let you go, be remiss if we didn't look ahead. We're closing in on the fall here. I'm thrilled about the Trey Johnson pick. They got a guard who can score it. And what are some of the things you're interested in as far as this young team as they get to camp and start working out some of the roster decisions they have to make?
Grant, allowing these young kids to blossom, it's another year. You know, I'm sitting here at home, but I'm watching what's happening overseas with this Euro Cup that's getting ready to happen. And I really like what I'm seeing from Bilal Coulibaly. I'm really excited about Alex Saar. They're playing well over there. They're getting those international reps. And that's the part where when you're tearing it down like this and you're starting to build with these young kids, you're going to watch them grow in real time. And the last couple of years, I've just been honored to watch it every night. I don't take no nights off, guys, every play. And you can see where some of these kids are getting better. And one of the real positives I saw this summer in Las Vegas was a kid like Keyshawn George, who I don't know if a lot of Wizards fans knew who he was when he got drafted, but they know who he is now, and he's gotten a little taller. He was really good in Vegas, and you're starting to see, okay, what role can he play on this team, okay? We saw Trey Johnson excite us in Vegas with his ability to shoot. Bilal Coulibaly is a really good defender. Bud Carrington played every game, one of 11 guys in the entire NBA last season that played every game. And for the way Bub ended the season, hitting the game-winning shot last game of the year in Miami, dealing with all the stuff off the floor he had to deal with, the passing of his father, mental toughness, those are the things that I kind of get excited about. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing coming, you know, after Labor Day, is what's the next step these kids are going to take.
Chris, great to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Always good talking to you guys. Have a great week.
See you, buddy.
Be good. There's Chris Miller, Monumental Sports. He'll be on the call of Wizards basketball again when they get going this fall.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.